presence of the Lord and in the word of the Lord. Amen. Well, everybody say banquet. We're going to have a great time. Amen. And I invite you, as we said, if you want to come and you don't have the money yet, just be sure and let us know so we can help you work that out. We don't want that to be an object and an obstacle, I should say, in your way. If you want to be there, we want to help you be there. And you ought to want to be there. Amen. So please come. We have had several spontaneous requests for peanut brittle. We didn't plan to make it right now, but tomorrow night's the only night we have to make it. And sister, we don't want to interfere with your gathering, but somebody could help us tomorrow night and make us about 500. No, I'm not going to scare you. About a few. Anybody could help us tomorrow night. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, 5, 6. Okay, those of you that can, meet us here about 6 o'clock if you can, or as early as you can, and we'll do that as quickly as we can, and we want to honor those requests. We learned that the drought affected the price of peanuts pretty severely, but nonetheless, they're bought, so we're going to use them up. All right, and so thank you so much for that. And then we had something very interesting happen, I think quite an honor for the United Pentecostal Church. We have a Bible college in Indianapolis, Indiana Bible College. You can, a lot of people know their music on YouTube. And they were invited this year to sing at the Super Bowl, wherever the Super Bowl is. They were invited to sing behind Madonna. We thought that was a little too much. Madonna and IBC, what a combination. So I'm sure after prayer and consideration, the president of the college, Brother Mooney, decided that wasn't the right thing to do. So they respectfully decline. But what an honor. Isn't that great? That's a tremendous honor. You know, people, corporations pay literally millions of dollars to advertise just 30 seconds or a minute at the Super Bowl. So to be asked to sing at that, I think, is a tremendous honor. And that's a good thing. And I think that was at least a great honor, even though they decided it wasn't the right thing to do, but it's a good thing that the Lord is able to bring things to light in His time. Amen. All right. God bless you. You young kids can, if you'd like to be dismissed. And upper room youth, you can go ahead and be dismissed. And the rest of you are stuck with me right here. Amen. So let's stand together tonight, and somebody beside you needs a smile, turn around and give them one of yours. Amen. Shake their hand. Praise the Lord. We never want anybody to be without a smile. They're real cheap. Amen. And they're easy to give away. Praise the Lord. We're going to read tonight from the book of Matthew in the 5th chapter. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, reading down to verse number 16. And we'll also be going to the 13th chapter. I'm not going to read that, but we will be going there in just a few minutes. These words are a part of Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount. It starts with the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes could also be called the Be Happy-tudes, I guess, because that's what they really are. It's about being happy. The word blessed there means happy is the person or happy is the man. And then he comes to these verses, and theologians call these the similitudes. because they compare us to him. Beginning with verse 13, he said, ye are, but say you are. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but is cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Verse 14, he said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. All right. So Lord bless you. You may be seated. The similitudes. The word means similar to and compared to or like this or like that. And so, but we note tonight especially what Jesus says here. He takes a couple of really important things and he says, you are. And he begins by saying, you are the salt of the earth. I don't know of anything more common than salt. I guess the only thing more common than salt is dirt. But it's a very common thing, and we are to be common. Abraham Lincoln said God loved common people because he made so many of them. Amen. And some people will do anything to stand out. They'll dress weird, they'll color their hair or cut their hair or shave their hair or whatever it takes just to get people's attention. Amen. They'll do weird stuff to get people's attention. But it's okay to just go ahead and be normal. It's all right. There's nothing wrong with that. Amen. It's okay. Amen. Just to be normal is all right. Well, actually, salt was in ancient times was very valuable, and it's taken for granted, but it's a valuable commodity, and it's a good thing. I don't know if you've ever been. Anybody ever been to Salt Lake City? And you see literally mountains of salt out there, that Salt Sea. If you've ever been out there and you've seen the salt flats and the salty sea, and they literally heap that up in great old big hills, and it's when it rains it pours. That's what Morton said anyway. So they got mountains of salt. It's a common thing. I've been to Israel and I've been to the Salt Sea, or the Dead Sea as some people call it, and it is salty. Oh, I mean, you can see salt in the water. You can see formations of salt in the water. It's a salty, salty place. And so Israel, in Bible times, they had salt. It was common, but it was also very valuable. It's a symbol of purity. The Romans said it's the product of the sun and the sea. And so there's nothing more pure, at least before all the pollution, than the sun and the sea. So it's a pure thing. And that it is. Salt is a very, very pure thing. And the church is called purity, isn't it? And we're supposed to purify things. Did you know it's easier to be good around some people than it is around others? Isn't that right? Amen. I've been around people that were always apologizing for the way they talked. Why did they do that? Because they knew I didn't talk like that. Amen. There was a purifying factor that was going on there. Amen. It's easier to be good around some people than it is others. And that's one of the jobs of the church, We're not here to judge people, look down on people, or condemn people. Not at all. Never. That's not our job. But we are here to be pure. And just simply by being pure, you're an influence. People notice if you don't curse. People notice when you don't tell dirty jokes. People notice that you still know how to blush when something profane is said or seen. And they notice that. And we are here to be a purifying factor. And the Bible speaks of the church as a restraint to evil. And we do restrain evil. That's if you think it's bad now, it's going to be worse when the church leaves here. When the Lord takes the church out of this earth, and that godly and pure influence has now been taken away. That final restraint has been lifted. Then lawlessness is going to abound like it's never been bountiful before. So the church is a purifying force. We are the salt of the earth. We are here to bring purity. And thank God for purity. Amen. The world has done so very much to bring down the idea of purity. To scoff at that. And yet, it still is very valuable. So we are to bring and to be a purifying factor still in the earth. Salt, of course, is a preservative. And somebody, I think it was Plutarch, made the observation that meat is nothing more than a dead body. We don't like to think of that, I don't guess, when we're eating steak, but that's what it is. It's a dead cow, piece of it. And then the dead, of course, brings putrefaction and decay. I don't want to ruin your steak dinner here tonight, but especially in Bible times, there was no refrigeration. That was before Westinghouse and Frigidaire and Samsung and all the rest of them come along. And so there was no way to preserve meat except to pour salt on it. But salt would actually purify it, actually would preserve the meat. And it's still used that way. Our forefathers did that. That's how they used to keep pork and bacon and hams. And have you ever had a Virginia ham, they call it? What's the saltiest stuff you ever put in your mouth? Amen. It's good. I like it, but it's real salty. Because that's how they preserve it. They put salt on it. So the Bible says, being the salt of the earth, we are called to be a preservative in the earth. We have a certain standards that we live by in life. And everybody does. Everybody does. If you wanted to join the Hell's Angels motorcycle gang, you'd have some standards you'd have to live up to. That's right. If anybody, any other club, if you want to join the Mickey Mouse Club, they've got some standards you have to live up to. Amen. So I hear people sometimes and they talk about standards, but you've got standards everywhere you go. If you're going to work on a job, you've got certain standards. Isn't that right? If you don't, you're going to get fired. There's a certain thing. They require that of you. And shouldn't God require certain things of us? Is that out of bounds that He would ask us to be holy because He's holy? Is that asking too much? I don't think so. Amen. That's just, He's God and He is holy. And so we are here to preserve some things. And we have a preservative factor in the church. And we're here for that. And that's the purpose of the church. Amen. And whenever societies, you look through history, and you look at societies when they loose themselves from morality, they're always destroy themselves. It happens over and over and over again. And so when we loose ourselves from certain standards and certain righteousness and certain preservatives, those are things that keep us. Brother Bacon referred to it here tonight that this flesh has appetites that when we give in to those appetites continually, they will destroy us. And you don't have to look far to see those examples. They're all around us. Amen. And so the church is a preservative factor. It's here to keep certain things and to preserve righteousness and godliness and a witness in the world. And of course, we all know that salt is a seasoning. You know, there's stuff that doesn't have any salt, and it's kind of pretty bland. You know, and I've been on diets and tried to do away with salt. And you need a little bit. You know, you don't have to pour it on till you can see it, but you do need a little bit. If it's not there, you sure do miss it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Even I like meat, but you just take meat without any salt at all. It's not the same. Amen. Broccoli. Goodness gracious, it's bad enough with salt. It's a whole lot better smothered in cheese. But you at least put a little salt on it and you might can eat it. And so salt is a seasoning. It enhances flavor. It wakes it up and brings things to life. Amen. It makes it stand out. Amen. And you know, Christians they add seasoning to life. Amen. We should everywhere we are, we ought to bring a seasoning. Amen. Not a negative connotation, but there ought to be a zest in Christianity. Amen. That's positive and influential. Amen. Amen. And you know, Christians ought to smile a lot. You believe that? We ought to be the smilingest people on the face of the earth. We ought to be singing people. There was a meeting one time at a camp, and we had rented a campgrounds, and some people from that campgrounds, a different church, they went to our services, and after the service, they said to our leader, they said, "Man," said, "y'all are the singingest folks we ever heard." And then they heard one of our preachers preach for an hour and a half, and they said, "Y'all are the preachingest folks we've ever heard." Amen. And they watched the worship, and with the zeal and the enthusiasm and the dancing and all the shouting and all of that and the clapping, and they said, "Y'all are the worshipingest folks we've ever seen." Amen. And then they went to see us eat, and they said, "Y'all are the eatingest folks we've ever seen." We like to do it all. Amen. What the Bible said, whatsoever you find to do, do it with all of your might. Amen. If you're gonna worship, get with it. Amen. If you're gonna sing, get with it. If you're gonna preach, get with it. If you're gonna vacuum, get with it. Amen. Whatever it is you're gonna do, get with it. Amen. Praise, put some life in it. Amen. And so we are a seasoning. That's another thing that we are. And then Jesus gives a warning. He said, "But if the salt loses its savor..." Now, I'm not real sure how you can get salt to be unsalty. I don't know how you do that. One commentator said that in Bible times, all the ovens were outside. They didn't have Kenmore. They didn't have gas or electric. So they had brick ovens, and they would put down tiles on the ground, and underneath those tiles, to preserve the heat, they would put a bed of salt. And then they'd put the tiles on that, and then of course they would put the fire in there, and then they would have another layer, and then they'd have of course a little brick oven, and that's where they would cook a lot of their food. And so that was very common in Bible times. And so they say that there's what one thing Jesus was referring to is that salt underneath, always exposed to heat, after a while it would begin to dissolve and it would lose its ability to hold the heat. Amen. And so they would take it, and this is another lesson in it, wouldn't hold its heat. Did you get that? wouldn't hold its heat. It wouldn't hold its heat. One more time. It wouldn't hold its heat. And so they'd scoop it out and they'd just throw it out in the road for people to walk on. Amen. There's another verse that mentions that holding heat business, didn't it? Jesus said, I would rather that you were hot or cold. He said, but because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. And so there's a lesson there that you got to hold your heat, folks. And don't let your heat escape. Stay hot. Amen. Praise the Lord. Stay hot. And so Jesus said that whenever salt would lose its worthiness or its worth or its usefulness, then it would be cast out and people would walk on it. I read that there was a tradition among the Jews that if somebody did something worthy to be put out of the synagogue, when they came back to the synagogue to be received, they would lay themselves at the door and they would let people walk on them when they come in the door as a symbol of what we're talking about right here. It is said by some historians that in early Christianity, people that had been disciplined and brought back into the church also went through that same ritual. Now, we don't do that today. I don't advocate walking on folks. Amen. I think we need to pick them up. I don't know that Jesus ever intended that either. But people sometimes take the word a little bit too literal. Amen. And but nonetheless, Jesus just taught us to forgive one another, didn't he? And he said if we're spiritual, he said it would restore people. So I don't think it's necessary to walk on folks, but they took it that literal in Bible times. They took it to that extent. Amen. But as salt, we are to maintain our usefulness. We've got to stay useful. Amen. And not become useless. I think one of the reasons, actually, that as a nation we're having so many troubles today is as a nation and many churches have lost their saltiness. There are churches that have completely lost the Christian message. And they just accept anything and preach anything and really preach nothing. When they preach universalism and that we're all the same, everybody's the same. It doesn't matter what God you worship. Well, it does. It does. Jesus said, if you believe not that I am He, the Messiah, you shall die in your sins. And He said, you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. So yes, it does matter who you believe and whom you believe in. It does matter. And so when we lose our usefulness, if we lose our doctrine, and we lose our distinctiveness, and we lose the Holy Ghost power, amen, we're useless to the world. We're just a symbol that has no power, has no life, has no savor, amen, has no preserving power, has no value, has no purity. Then we're useless. Amen. God, help us to be a church that is still a salt of the earth. Amen. That we need to be salty Christians. Now, I've heard people use that phrase about some man, he's salty. That means he's strong. Amen. Now, we don't want to be salty in a worldly sense, but we want to be salty in a godly sense. Amen. We want to, you put salt in something, you can tell if it's there or not. Amen. And it needs to be that way. When you're not there, there needs to be a noticeable difference when you leave. Amen. That's right. So we need to be the salt of the earth. And then Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Now, that's really saying something because in John 9:5, He said, I am the light of the world. And here He's saying, you are the light of the world. Amen. And so, now I'm not saying that we have light in ourselves. But if you are filled with the Spirit of God tonight, you have light in you. If you are filled with the Word of the Lord, you have light in you. And you can't help it. Praise the Lord. Amen. If that Spirit and that Word is filling you, you'll be just like a light bulb that's turned on. You know, that light can't help but shine. If its electricity's getting to it, and the elements are connected like they're supposed to be connected, it will shine. That's what it was made to do. Amen. And so if you and I are full of the Holy Ghost, we cannot help but shine. We will shine. Amen. Because that's what we're created to do. In Bible times, of course, they did not have electricity, but they had they would take, it looked like a, you ever seen a gravy boat? You know, you use it Thanksgiving, and you put the gravy in there, and you use it to pour gravy on your food, and that good stuff. I like that. Amen. But they had a little, it looked like a gravy boat, and they'd fill that with oil, and they'd put a wick in it, and then they'd light that wick. Now, they didn't have matches. They didn't have those little things, you know, those neat little things we got today that you know, it's got the little whatever fluid in it, and you just click it a few times, pull the trigger. They'd love to have had those back in those days, but they didn't have those either. So when you got a fire going, you kept the fire going, because you had to get sparks and grass and everything, all that, to get it started again. It took a lot to get a fire going in Bible times. So once you got it going, you wanted to keep it going. So they would get the little wick, and they'd have had a fire going somewhere, and they'd light that. And of course, that oil, you know, would keep feeding the wick, and it would keep burning. And so it was a light. And now, their houses didn't have a lot of windows in them. They usually had maybe one small window. And so there wasn't a lot of light in the house except for that candle. Or that actually, it wasn't even a candle as we know candles. It was a boat full of a little bottle of oil with a wick in it. That's what it was. Anybody remember those kerosene lanterns? You know, hurricane lamps, some people call them. And those are neat, aren't they? Amen. There was one time they were used for more than decorations. And they were the real deal. Similar to that, except not that fancy. And they, of course, they would set it up on a stump, and they call that a candlestick, and then set it up there, and it would, you know, light the house as best as it could. And that was the light that they had in Bible times. But at nighttime, in a little city or a little village or a big city, you could see those lights all over town. Everywhere you looked, you can show them through the little window, you could see those warm little lights glowing in there. And it was a beautiful, beautiful sight. Now, so Jesus said said you're the light of the world. And then he tells us, he said, then you're supposed to be seen. Now you can't, if a light's on, you really can't hide it unless you turn the light out. He talked about hiding under a bushel. Now in Bible times they could do that. We don't do that anymore, but now we just flip a switch, right? You don't want to get rid of the light, you just turn the switch off. But in those days you would actually take a bushel or a basket of some kind and you would put it over the lamp. And if you did that, of course the light couldn't be seen. It was still there. You didn't put it out because it's a lot of work to get it going again. So you just cover it up when you didn't want light. But Jesus said that's not a good idea. He said, we're not to cover up our light. He said, you are like a city that's set on a hill. Amen. And if you've ever driven out in West Texas, anybody ever been driving out there? And you see some lights and you think, man, we'll be there in a few minutes. And then you drive a little bit longer and you think, well, we'll be there in a few minutes. And you drive a little bit longer and you think, well, we'll soon be there. What, is it moving? Goodness gracious, will I ever get there? Because it's plains and you can see lights a long ways off. And you think you'll be there soon, but it takes a while for you to get there. And so Jesus said, but lights are like that. You can see them a long ways off. They're very obvious. And so he said, you're supposed to be like that. People ought to be able to see you coming. Amen. Christians don't have to sneak up on people. Amen. Somebody said if you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? I would hope so. People ought to be able to see you coming. Will you sing that old song, When You See Me Coming? Got Him on My Mind. When you see me coming, I got Him on my... People ought to be able to see Jesus is on our mind. Amen. Ought to have a smile on our face, a song in our soul. Amen. A little spring in our step. Amen. Because Jesus is, He said, you're the light of the world. Amen. And we are here to be an influence, to be a light. That's our job. Amen. We are to be seen. Amen. And then he said that as a light, we are here to guide. Well, you sing a beautiful song. Ronnie Henson, I believe, wrote it. Said, there's a lighthouse on the hillside that overlooks life's sea. When I'm tossed, it sends out a light that I might see. He's talking about that lighthouse. Anybody ever seen a lighthouse? You know why they haven't built lighthouses? Because there were dangerous places and some ships wrecked because they couldn't see those rocks. And so they would build a lighthouse there. And when they saw that lighthouse, it was a warning that there's a place here now. You watch out because there's a rocky shoal and you need to be careful and go around this place. So there were lighthouses that would signal people. And those people in before GPS, you know, we're living in quite an age today. But GPS hadn't been around very long, not at least our kind. God's always had a positioning service and He always has had. So God's always known exactly where we are. He can point you out at any time. And global positioning system, that's what that is. And we didn't have those until a few years ago. But way back, even in Bible times, you could be sailing and you could see the light a long way off. And you'd realize, hey, there's land over there. It was a guide. Amen. Even today, though, I kind of like having some lights to guide me. You ever try to drive without your lights on? It's not a good idea. It's not a good idea at all. Amen. And you know, have you ever missed a road because it wasn't lit up? And you thought, man, if they just put a light there. And you drive around, you're trying to find something in the dark, and there's no light. But wouldn't it be simple if somebody just put a little light there, even a little reflector? I've seen a lot of people do that. We did that at church. You know, we had a little lady in our church who was 90 years old still driving. And we wanted to make the way very plain. And so we put some reflectors out there so she could see those things and know exactly where to turn and how to stay right between the two. And that's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a good thing. So lights guide us. And as a light, we are here to guide people. Not to ourselves, but of course to Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of it all. And it was amazing. It still amazes me that ancient mariners could literally cross the ocean with a sextant. They would get out there at night, and even though the sun was gone, they could study the stars and measure on their nautical charts, and they could literally make their way across a trackless ocean just by the lights that were in the sky. And that's amazing how they could do that. And so light is a guide to us. It gets us from where we are to where we want to be. And thank God for light that helps us to get there. And then light is a Light makes a great standard because, you see, light always travels in a straight line. Light travels in a straight line. So if you want to know if something's straight, you put a light beam on it. And you'll find out if it's straight or not. Now, you can bounce light all over the place if you want to, but you want to find out if something's straight, you just get a laser beam or a light that's straight, and you can see if it's really straight or if it's not. It'll tell you. So light is a great standard. Amen. It helps us to be able to line up and see if we're straight or not. There's a guy that he was a pastor, he got tired pastor, and he quit. And they said, "Well, brother, what are you doing now?" He said, I'm a mortician. Said, "Well, is that a good thing?" He said, "Let me just say this." He said, "When I was a pastor," he said, "I tried to straighten out the Smiths and I couldn't get their marriage straightened out. I tried to straighten out the Jones kids, I couldn't get them straightened out." He said, "But buddy, now when I straighten them out, they stay straight." So he found his calling. That's how you straighten people out and get them to stay straight. But light, it's a great standard to figure out if something is straight or not. Light is also a very powerful force when it's focused. There's a lot of difference in diffuse light and focused light. These lights right here are called floodlights. A floodlight, it diffuses the light broadly. And if you touch that bulb, I don't advise it, it'll be hot. But it's not as hot as a spotlight. A spotlight does not diffuse light, but it concentrates light in one spot. It highlights one very concentrated area, and because of that, it's a hotter light. And if you want a really hot light, we have what we call laser. Laser is amplified light that is extremely focused. And they make lasers that are powerful enough to cut through steel. They make lasers that, it's amazing what can be done with a laser. You know, they do laser surgeries now. They can actually take that light and concentrate on a certain place in your physical body, and they can cut something out with a light. Amen. God's known how to do that a long time, but we're just figuring it out. Amen. God knows how to shine His light, and He can get rid of sins, and He can get rid of darkness, and He can get rid of a bondage in our lives. He's known how to do that a long time. But the Bible says that we're a light in the world. It's our job to be a light. Amen. It's our job to light the way. Now, this is interesting. How do you do that? Jesus made it very plain. He said, "Let your light so shine before men that they'll see your good works." So how do you let your light shine? By doing good works. Here's the interesting thing. Knowing the truth's not enough. Telling people off's not enough. Straightening people out's not enough. He said, but if you want to be a good witness, he said, do good works. That's how people see your light, is you just do good works. Amen. I know a man that he had one of those snow blowing machines up north. Any of you northerners know anything about that? Shoveling snow, man, that's something we don't have to do much around here. But folks up north know about shoveling snow. And he had one of those machines that did that. And he'd get out and go to the church and he'd clean the sidewalks. And then he had some neighbors and he'd go over and he'd do the neighbor's house. And he just would just help people out just because he had a snow blowing machine, and it was a lot easier than getting out there and shoveling the stuff. So he was very considerate. And so one day they were having a Sunday school drive, and somebody went to the house to invite the children that lived in that house to the Sunday school, and it, whoever answered the door said, no, they cannot go. And then the mother or grandmother looked out there, and she saw the pastor standing back out there, and she asked if that was the pastor, and they said yes. And they said, well, they can go with him because he saw his good works. They saw his good works. It's important that we do good works. Amen. There was a man one time that didn't do good works. He had an attitude and had problems, and he didn't do real well. And he was actually a contractor. Sir, a church had hired him to do a certain job, and he didn't do what he said he was going to do. Later on, he wanted another job from the YMCA. Big job. And so he went to the YMCA to meet with a board, and guess who was on the board? The pastor of that church. Mm-hmm. And he was wishing right then for some good works. He was wishing that he could have held his tongue a little bit and handled that situation totally differently. Amen. So he told the pastor, he said, I guess there's no sense in me even applying here. And the pastor said, I'll not speak against you. I'll let your work speak for themselves. So it's important that we do good works. That's how people see if we're Christian, not just by what we say, but how we live. Amen. It's important, isn't it, that we live right and let our light shine so that people can truly see the light of the Lord in us. Amen. So Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. Let's be salty. Don't lose your savor. Amen. But you also got to be wise, you know. Praise the Lord. Got to be wise. Don't be so salty that you're overpowering. You know, salt, you can get too much salt. You ever had anything that's too salty? Well, it's hard to eat something that's just too salty. But if it's just right, and if you're wise, you know how to be just salty enough. So in the Bible said that he that wins the souls is wise. They know how to just put just enough salt without overpowering people. Have you ever met anybody that was overpowering? Even Christians that were overpowering. I met a few Christians, boy, they'd tell you off at the drop of a hat, and they'd drop the hat. Amen. Now we don't want that. That's been too salty. That's too salty. You know, just enough. You know another thing that salt does? It makes you thirsty. It makes you thirsty. Amen. And so people ought to be around us, and they ought to get thirsty. Amen. They ought to thirst for the living water. Amen. And so that's, we are called to be salt and then lights. Oh, Tom Baudet has made a career out of a little phrase that he came up with. I don't know. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah? You know what? That little phrase is from Motel 6. We'll keep the light on for you. Amen. And that just sounds homey, doesn't it? And then there's, when you've been on a journey and you get home late at night, there's nothing that looks better than the lights of home. Amen. When you turn the corner and you see those lights, there's nothing that makes it feel warmer than the lights of home. When you pull into your driveway and you put out the lights of your vehicle and you look up there and you see that light shining, oh, that's a beautiful sight. Amen. Just can't wait to get in there. I went with my brother one time. We drove from Midland over to Henderson. He had been working there, and we were going to get his stuff and move back to West Texas. Man, we got there, and it was cold. It was this time of year, and it was so cold. We went in and got the lights on his little apartment, and he had one of those electric blankets. Boy, we turned that buddy on, and then we went to eat, thinking when we get back, that's going to be so nice. It is so cold, we're going to finally get warm. We got back, jumped in the bed, it was like jumping on icicles. We turned it on, but we forgot to plug it in. That was not a good thing. The light said, it's going to get warm, but it's got to be plugged in. It got to be connected. Amen. So I've met some folk kind of like that. You know, you expected it to be warm and it get real cold real fast. Amen. The light was on, but they weren't connected. Somehow they didn't get plugged in. Amen. Praise God. So you gotta have the light on. But there's nothing like having the lights on. There's nothing more welcome than the bright lights of home. One of the most beautiful songs that Dottie Rambo ever wrote was a song that said, "Is that the lights of home that I see? Do I feel a breeze from the crystal sea? Is that the Lord standing high on heaven's balcony? If that's the lights of home, it's a welcome sight to me." Anybody feel like that tonight? Amen. The lights of home. There's nothing like it. Praise God. I want to be salty, and I want to be a wise salt shaker. Amen. I don't want to be... I don't know if you've ever been in a restaurant where somebody screwed the lid off of the salt, you know, and set it on there. And you picked it up and dumped it and went... I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be so loose... that I lose it all at one time. Amen. But I want to have a good tight lid so you can kind of control things. Amen. And so we want to be salty at the same time we're going to be the light of the Lord. Let's stand together. Amen. Thank you tonight for your kind attention. Amen. This is what the Lord said that we are here to do. This is our job as Christians. It's what he's called us for. It's what he's asked of us. Amen. And it's not something that you can, you know, if you can't make yourself salty. Either you're salt or you're not. You can't turn pepper into salt. You can't turn sand into salt. You're either salty or you're not. You either have salt or you're not salt. It's just that simple. But he said, if you're a Christian and you're in Christ, he said, you are the salt. You don't try to manufacture it. That's what you are. And then he said, you are the light. Now we understand that we are like the moon. The moon is not light, but it reflects light. The sun shines and it reflects on the moon. And the moon is a reflector, and it reflects the light of the sun. So that's our job today, is to be reflectors. I've said this in times past, that light is omnipresent. There's nowhere that it's not light. Everywhere it's light. You ever seen pictures of space? It looks dark, doesn't it? But it's not. There's light out there. The reason you don't see the light is because there's nothing to reflect it. But when light finds something that's solid, it will reflect on that. And it will manifest the light, and it will manifest the object. And that's what we are. We are reflectors of His light. His light shines in the world. It shines on everybody, but not everybody reflects the light of the Lord. But He said, you're my reflectors. And you will reflect my light. You will cause my light to be manifest. And cause it to be shown to the world. And so that's our job as Christians. what we're called to do. Amen. Oh, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Oh, shine all over Athens, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine all over Athens, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine all over Athens, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Oh, won't let Satan blow it out, I'm gonna let it shine. I won't let Satan blow it out, I'm gonna let it shine. I won't let Satan blow it out, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Oh, I'd hide it under a bushel, oh no, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Oh, shine until Jesus comes, I'm gonna let it shine. Shine until Jesus comes, I'm gonna let it shine. Shine until Jesus comes, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine, oh, I'm gonna let it shine. And this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.